Oh, yes, the things we do all winter we'll remember all summer long. We're just going into Job chapter 37, and this may take about 10 minutes here of your time. And then we'll hear some more beautiful music on Teddy's Media Radio. Also, remember the Teddy's Media Radio way of getting a hold of them through their email, and check out the website there, Teddy's Media Radio. com. In Job 37, I'm reading once again from the Living Bible, and this is Stephan Yah with you. My heart trembles at this. Listen, listen to the thunder of his voice. He rolls across the heavens, and his lightning flashes out in every direction. Afterwards comes the roaring of the thunder, the tremendous voice of his majesty. His voice is magnificent in the thunder. We cannot comprehend the greatness of his power, for he directs the snow, the showers, and storm to fall upon the earth. Man's work stops at such a time, so that all men everywhere may recognize his power. The wild animals hide in their rocks or in their dens. Now this is verse 9, the next verse. From the south comes the rain, from the north the cold. Yahweh blows upon the rivers, and even the wildest torrents freeze. He loads the clouds with moisture, and they send forth his lightning. The lightning bolts are directed by his hand, and do whatever he commands throughout the earth. He sends the storms as punishment, or, in his loving kindness, to encourage. And back in the Antioch Scrolls, it would say, even the cattle warn us of the coming storm, instead of what we read here, which was, he sends the storms as punishment or in his loving kindness. So if you look at the King James, for example, from the original scrolls, it says, even the cattle warn us of the coming storm in his loving kindness to encourage. Verse 14 is next. Listen, O Job. Stop and consider the wonderful miracles of Yahweh. Do you know how Yahweh controls all nature and causes the lightning to flash forth from the clouds? Do you understand the balancing of the clouds with wonderful perfection and skill? Do you know why you become warm when the south wind is blowing and everything is still? Can you spread out the gigantic mirror of the skies as he does? You who think you know so much, teach the rest of us how we should approach Yahweh, for we are too dull to know. Another interpretation of that would be, who has put wisdom in the inward parts and given understanding to the mind? That's from the original Antioch Scrolls. With your wisdom, would we then dare to approach him? Well, does a man wish to be swallowed alive? For as we cannot look as the sun for its brightness when the winds have cleared away the clouds, neither can we gaze at the terrible majesty of Yahweh breaking forth upon us from heaven clothed in dazzling splendor. We cannot imagine the power of the Almighty, and yet he is so just and merciful that he does not destroy us. No wonder men everywhere fear him, for he is not impressed by the world's wisest men. End of chapter 37 of the book of Job, which is right before the book of Psalms. Then we go to the next chapter here as we're doing meditation. And chapter 38, then Yahweh answered Job from the whirlwind. Why are you using your ignorance to deny my providence? Now get ready to fight, for I'm going to demand some answers from you. You must reply. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you know so much. Do you know how its dimensions were determined? And who did the surveying? What supports its foundations, and who laid its cornerstone as the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Who decreed the boundaries of the seas when they gushed from the depths? Who clothed them with clouds and thick darkness, and barred them by limiting their shores, and said, thus far, and no farther shall you come, and here shall your proud waves stop? Have you ever once commanded the morning to appear? Now, Yahweh, the Father, is talking to Job here. Have you ever once commanded the morning to appear and caused the dawn to rise in the east? Have you ever told the daylight to spread to the ends of the earth to end the night's wickedness? Have you ever robed the dawn in red and disturbed the haunts of wicked men and stopped the arm raised to strike? Verse 16 is next. Have you explored the springs from which the seas come, or walked in the sources of their depths? Have you explored the springs? Has the location of the gates of death been revealed to you? Do you realize the extent of the earth? Tell me about it if you know. Where does the light come from, and how do you get there? Or tell me about the darkness. Where does it come from? Can you find its boundaries or go to its source? But of course you know all this, for you were born before it was all created, and you are so very experienced. Well, that's a facetious statement there, of course. Job was not born before everything was created. And so that's more of a accusation or, you know, a question. And, of course, Job's humble answer would be no to that, as if we read on here. Have you visited the treasuries of the snow, or seen where hail is made and stored? For I have reserved it for the time when I will need it in war. Where is the path to the distribution point of light? Where is the home of the east wind? Who dug the valleys for the torrents of rain? Who laid out the path for the light, the lightning, causing the rain to fall upon the barren deserts, so that the parched and barren ground is satisfied with water and tender grass springs up? Has the rain a father? Where does dew come from? Who is the mother of the ice and frost? For the water changes and turns to ice as hard as rock. Can you hold back the stars? Can you restrain Orion and Pleiades? Can you ensure the proper sequence of the seasons, or guide the constellation of the Bear with her satellites across the heavens? Do you know the laws of the universe and how the heavens influence the earth? Can you shout the clouds and make it rain? Can you make lightning appear and cause it to strike as you direct it? Who gives intuition and instinct? Who is wise enough to number all the clouds? Who can tilt the water jars of heaven when everything is dust and clouds? Of course, that statement there is symbolic. There are no physical water jars up there. Can you stalk prey like the lioness to satisfy the young lion's appetite as they lie in their dens or lie in wait in the jungle? Who provides for the ravens when their young cry out to Yahweh as they try to struggle up from their nest in hunger? Do you know how mountain goats give birth? Have you ever seen them giving birth to their young? Now we're reading here in chapter 39 there. That's just segue right in from 38 to 39. And then verse 2 and 3. Do you know how many months of pregnancy they have, the mountain goats, how many months they have before they bow themselves to give birth to their young and carry their burden no longer? Their young grow up in the open field, then leave their parents and return to leave no more. Who makes the wild donkeys wild? I have placed them in the wilderness and given them salt plains to live in. For they hate the noise of the city and want no drivers shouting at them. The mountain ranges are their pasture land. There they search for every blade of grass. Will the wild ox be your happy servant? Will he stay because your feeding crib? Will he stay beside your feeding crib? Can you use a wild ox to plow with? Will he pull the harrow for you? Because he is so strong, will you trust him? Will you let him decide where to work? Can you send him out to bring in the grain from the threshing floor? Next verse is verse 13 here in Job 39. The ostrich flaps her wings grandly, but has no true motherly love. She lays her eggs on top of the earth to warm them in the dust. She forgets that someone may step on them and crush them, or the wild animals destroy them. She ignores her young as though they weren't her own, and is uncovered though they die. For Yahweh has deprived her of wisdom, but whenever she jumps up to run, she passes the swiftest horse with its rider. And then, verse 19, have you given the horse strength, or clothed his neck with a quivering mane? Have you made him able to leap forward like a locust? His majestic snorting is something to hear. He paws the earth and rejoices in his strength, and when he goes to war, he is unafraid and does not run away, though the arrows rattle against him, or the flashing spear and javelin. Fiercely he paws the ground and rushes forward into battle when the trumpet blows. Talking here about the horse. At the sound of the bugle, he shouts, aha! He smells the battle when far away. He rejoices at the shouts of battle and the roar of the captain's commands. Do you know how a hawk soars and spreads her wings to the south? Is it at your command that the eagle rises high upon the cliffs to make her nest? She lives upon the cliffs, making her home in her mountain fortress. From there she spies her prey from a very great distance. Her nestlings gulp down blood, for she goes wherever the slain are. And in verse 40, we're not going to get very far here, because in this chapter we're 11 minutes into the broadcast. Do you know how Yahweh went on? Do you still want to argue with the Almighty, or will you yield? Do you, Yahweh's critic, have the answers? And then Job replied, I am nothing. How can I ever find the answers? I lay my hand upon my mouth in silence. I have said too much already. And that's where we'll leave off on at this point. And then briefly, we'll want to go to Psalm 51, verse 7. That's we're turning to the right here just a little bit, right after Job. We're going to Psalms again, 51. And I want to thank you for joining us. Remember the email. For my personal email is chuck@yahweh.name. And I've almost found it here. Psalm 51, verse 7. Sprinkle me with the cleansing blood, and I shall be clean again. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. So this refers to the cleansing blood that the Messiah gives us, as we understand his name to be Yahusha the Messiah, but people have many different names. But the Messiah washes away our sins. It's not by our works of righteousness, which we have done, but by his mercy he has saved us. By his substitutionary offering on the tree at Calvary 2,000 years ago. That's a historical fact. And it's also proven in the lives of many people and in the lives of martyrs, people who were murdered for their faith in the Messiah and who stood up for the Word. And we don't have to go back very many grandfathers to catch up on that history. Another verse that parallels that Psalm 51 verse 7 is Isaiah 1:18. So we'll turn to the right just a little bit more. We'll skip. We'll go ahead and skip Proverbs here momentarily. I just love the book of Isaiah. It's a power book that has always been my refreshing time in the Word. A lot of prophecy in here. A lot of future events that are going to come to pass. Beautiful. As terrible, gigantic, judgmental events are going to come past too that are prophesied in the book of Isaiah, and that's just 66 chapters and is very enjoyable reading. But Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come, let us talk this over." And this is the Messiah speaking. Oh, and let me back up a verse. Oh, wash yourselves, be clean. Let me no longer see you doing all these wicked things. Quit your evil ways. Learn to do good, to be fair, and to help the poor, the fatherless, and widows. Come, let us talk this over, says Yahweh. No matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can take it out and make you as clean as freshly fallen snow. Even if you are stained as red as crimson, I can make you white as wool. If you will only let me help you, if you will only obey, then I will make you rich. But if you keep on turning your backs and refusing to listen to me, you will be murdered by your enemies. I, Yahweh, have spoken. And then we also go over here to... Thank you. To... Well, I guess we'll move on to Isaiah 55 and somewhere around verse 10, so up a couple of chapters. Well, it's wonderful to have you join us. We're doing weather-related scriptures here, and we started out in the book of Psalms, Psalm 147, went through Psalm 148. We read Job 37, verse 6, actually all of 37, most of 37, chapter 38 and 39, and first part of chapter 40. So Isaiah 55, and then perhaps a quick break. At least I'll be taking one while we hear some music. Music coming up here in a second. Isaiah 55:10. If the music isn't already coming up as a threshold underneath us, as I read this about the rain and the snow, and I can just hear the sound effects, the powerful weather. I can hear the thunder and the tinkling of the rain upon the tin roof there. Back in the days when we had homes that weren't so well insulated, you could really hear the rain pouring down there on the roof. You could hear it echo through the attic. But it says there in Isaiah 55:10, as the rain, and this goes along with the salvation that our heavenly Messiah gives us by our trusting in his completed offering on the tree at Calvary 2,000 years ago. The death, burial, and the resurrection of Messiah is true. We need to trust in him. We need to see that the prophetic passages here in Scripture are coming to pass. For example, the ecumenical unity is coming to pass. The one world powerful government, and government and religion uniting together. That's happening now. It started at least 40 years ago. But it says, as the rain and snow come down from heaven and stay upon the ground to water the earth and cause the grain to grow, to produce seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry, so also is my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It shall accomplish all I want it to and prosper everywhere I send it. You will live in joy and peace. The mountains and the hills, the trees of the field, all the world around you will rejoice. Where once were thorns, fir trees will grow. Where briars grew, the myrtle trees will sprout up. This miracle will make Yahweh's name very great and be an everlasting sign of his powerful love and of his great power. there is an alternative here that was written in the Living Bible there, but I could pick up from a copy from the original scrolls that is in the King James here, Isaiah 55, and repeat that, and then we'll just take that break I talked about. See, I remember that much. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to Yahweh for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. It's wonderful to have you here on this broadcast. Thank you for joining us.